brand owners, if they want to drive more profitability from paid media and analytics accuracy, the first and kind of best way to do that is to look at the tracking, look at the data engineering that's sending in data, look at the fidelity of it and control it, have proper control over it, or employ specialists who really, really know what they're doing.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, well, every five episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method. Well, that's what we usually do. We're not at the moment, but I'll come on to that in a minute. And in each episode, we release a new one every Wednesday. I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. Now, at the moment, we are deep in our annual What You Need to Know Before Peak series, hence not a specific marketing method for these five episodes. And this time, we are talking about one of the hottest topics of 2025, using your analytics data, your tracking data to improve your ad performance. It's techie, it's automated, well, kind of, and you really do need to do this if you want the best ROI this peak season. And there's definitely still time to sort it out. To take us through all of this, we've got Wes from Leaf back on the show, possibly the show's resident techie ad tracking thing guru. I think they've been on more times. I think he's been on more times than anybody else to talk about this. And he'll be taking us through why this is so important, why it is the core of the profitability of your ad performance now and in coming years. He'll be taking us through what data you should be capturing, where you should be sending that data. He'll talk about what you could do right now to improve your peak performance. We'll cover that in quite a bit of detail. And obviously, the insider tips are going to be great. So make sure you listen right to the end as well. Are you ready to try TikTok ads? Success on TikTok comes from embracing all the opportunities the platform's ecosystem provides. Organic brand posts, live streaming, affiliates and creators, TikTok shop, and of course, the advertising platform. So, are you ready to try TikTok ads? Now is the perfect time to get your TikTok ads up and running. Available in more than 150 markets in 75 languages, no video app is on more mobile devices worldwide. And get this, of TikTok's millions of users, one in four can't be found on any other platform. Don't start with TikTok ads without checking the latest new advertiser deal. Find it at keepopt.com/TikTok ads. That's keepopt.com/TikTok ads. TikTok ads. All one word. I'd love to hear how you get on. In this episode, I'm chatting with performance marketing expert Wesley Hartley. Wesley is Chief Commercial Officer at Leaf. Leaf is a technology and data science company delivering performance intelligence solutions for next-gen e-commerce brands, and they've recently launched a new conversion tracking and monitoring solution called Leaf Signal. Hello, Wes.
Hi, Chloe. How are you doing?
I'm good. Really lovely to have you back on the show. It's been a little while since you've been here. And based on the intro I just read out, you guys have been quite busy. So what's been going on at Leaf since we last caught up?
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, we've always been a technology company, but over the past few years, we've been focused on services to drive, to help us drive product innovation. And now we're in a place where we can kind of go back and kind of fully focus on product and on technology as a kind of a managed service solution. So that's why this whole conversion tracking thing is kind of come to the fore now for Leaf. I mean, we've been working on it for a number of years. It's always been really important to us in terms of driving paid media performance and kind of analytics accuracy. But now it's become, fully fledged product that we've been focusing on kind of putting out to the market. Soft launched it last year, and now we're in a position where we're literally about to launch it tomorrow properly to the market. So been very, very busy, as well as juggling all the agency side of things as well.
Very cool. And anyone listening, we are recording this ahead of when you're listening to it. So it's definitely launched by the time you're listening. In many ways, you guys were a little bit ahead of the curve, because the noisiness, about caring about tracking, the big popular conversations about it feel like they only really started about 6 to 12 months ago. as a result of all the changes the ad platforms made. But of course, the savvy marketers were using this stuff years ago, as you just said.
Yeah, I mean, when we first started, maybe, oh, I don't know, 12 years ago now, we focused on tracking as a way. At the time, we had an app. We had a music app, actually, a streaming app. And we were basically using paid media to drive downloads of our app. And then we were feeding through tracking, pretty advanced tracking straight from the off, actually. So we were tracking all the customer, all the user interactions within our app. So people that had made playlists and that had made playlists with at least 10 songs and who were sharing them with friends. So all those really important engagement metrics, we were then sending those back into the ad platforms to say, get us more people that look like the people that are doing these interactions within our app. And they might have been more expensive to acquire, but they were 10 times more engaged. And at the time we'd raise some money, we were raising some more money, and it was about, you know, yeah, we needed a certain number of downloads and installs, but we also needed a certain number of kind of active users and quality engagement within the app. So we went from a kind of a volume play, so downloads and installs, to an engagement play. And then, yeah, fast forward, once we started working in e-com, tracking was always a really, really important thing for us from the off. We believe it's the kind of first, the most important part of the performance marketing chain, without which nothing else really matters in paid media. People talk about creative, but if you don't have the right data being fed into the ad platforms, then your creative can only do so much. It doesn't exist in an environment that is kind of set up to let it kind of flourish and drive performance. It can't really do that. Well, if you don't have any tracking and whatever, you cannot run conversion-based campaigns. That's you cannot do performance marketing. So it's that foundationally important.
It's a bit like, you know, back when I had an ad agency, we would see people, e-commerce businesses, who were running their Google ads based on cost per click. You know, and that was all the tracking they had, was what Google could tell them because it happened in Google land. And it was kind of like mind-blowing to add in conversion data. So you could start running your Google ads based on actual ROI, ROAS, insert your number that actually gives a damn about your actual sales here. It feels like as big a game changer as that when we start actually getting into tracking, because we're feeding so much more data. And almost the sky's the limit with the amount of data we can feed back, because the ad platforms are hungry for it, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it used to be more. We've gone past the kind of the summit of kind of peak marketing data, and we've been on the way down for quite some time. You know, I think loads of performance marketers and brands will probably remember the advent of iOS 14 and the changes that brought a new era of kind of privacy first kind of solutions. And now, I mean, if you look at Apple now, when Apple advertise, they usually focus on just one kind of feature of, say, an iPhone. When they do, it's usually the camera, isn't it? And some kind of feature of the camera, but privacy has become a big feature for Apple. So you will see huge billboards that just says Apple means privacy kind of thing. And it's a huge, and with that, and then, you know, a lot of the legislation coming from the EU and lots of states, individual states within the US, privacy is becoming more of a thing. We're getting less kind of attribution visibility because of it, and we're getting less control over targeting because of that as well. So if that is the broader context, and then, you know, control of kind of campaigns is becoming, targeting specifically is becoming much, much broader. Think Advantage Plus, Performance Max, PMax campaigns on Google, then it stands that the data that's being driven into the ad accounts is what is driving targeting. It's what's delivering performance, and it's ultimately what is resulting in and affecting, having the biggest material impact on the profitability of your media spend, is tracking. And people need to get with the program with this tracking thing, because people are like, oh yeah, it's not a priority for us right now, or yeah, it's a budget. And it's like, it's a revenue driver, it's a profitability driver for your business. There isn't any other priority. This is number one priority if you are spending money on paid media. And I think the market still needs a lot of education about that, actually.
I mean, going back to what you were saying about how this is the number one profit driver, I totally get why, because you can invest as much as you like into great creative for your Facebook ads. But if you're not providing the right data back into Facebook to enable it to make great decisions about, you know, which ads are actually performing, if it doesn't know how the people who see those ads are actually reacting when they get to your website and so on and so forth, they can't make the best use of that creative. So you can spend as much money on the creative as you like, but you're getting flawed results back because you're not feeding the right data in there in the first place. So with all that tracking activity that we now know we need to do, or we hopefully as a result of this podcast, if not other things, know we need to do, how do we get started with it? You know, what sort of data do we need at our fingertips to be able to send back? How technology-wise can we actually make this happen? Is it incredibly complicated? Is it as vaguely easy as a Google Tag Manager type thing? How do we go about actually doing the do with all of this, Wesley?
Well, I think that's probably a blessing and a curse, because if you're a Shopify store owner, you can just have some free apps that will do this tracking for you. But if you're spending any decent kind of money on paid media and you're just using some bog standard vanilla free apps in Shopify to handle, if you're spending, say, 50 grand a month on paid media and you don't have any a team or some technology that you are paying for to handle your tracking, you are in a very, very, very precarious situation, because most brand owners, most e-commerce managers, performance agencies, they don't really have a clue about tracking. And it's crazy. I don't know how you can be a performance marketing agency and not handle the tracking, but I haven't met a performance marketing agency really that does that yet, apart from us, that actually handles it, that has a team that looks after it, monitors it, built some technology for it. So we would say that, I don't know, most brands that we see, their tracking is broken in some way. And it's like when you look at a website, I mean, if you can't actually check out and the checkout's broken, that's the equivalent of, say, the purchase event being broken in traffic, in tracking, right? But it might be a case of you don't have Google Pay or Apple Pay or Shop Pay on there. Like a big thing that makes it much easier for people to check out, and you're missing out on the, you know, the conversion rate uplift through that, or you don't have an optimized product detail page and it's a really crap product detail page. You wouldn't say it's broken. It'd just be really, really suboptimal. And that's kind of the way that people have their tracking set up. They're meant to send just the, you know, top level conversion tracking is a system for measuring, monitoring, and then sending customer interaction data from your website to your paid media channels and your analytics platforms like GA4. On within that, this event data, there's product data, and there is customer data, and there are lots and lots of different parameters. So once you scale it all this up, all the parameters that you can send event, product, and customer across all these different events, and then the amount of products that you've got on the website, potentially millions of data points. And most brands are missing huge swathes of that data. They just think, oh, I'll just download this app. I've got zero clue how this thing works, and I'm just going to trust that that's going to send all the right data into the ad platforms. Is it not sending the right data? So loads of people are thinking, well, how would you know? Well, is your GA4 accurate? When you look in there, is the revenue against each of your products and your total number of transactions and revenue, is it accurate in any way? If it isn't, just apply that inaccuracy and apply it to your paid, the data that's been sent to your paid media channels as well, probably. And yeah, they're just probably missing out on huge swathes of accurate product data that can be used for personalized retargeting. And then if the pixels and the ad accounts have got all this information and they know, right, okay, 70% of all the people that we're sending to the website that are buying look like this and they are buying these products, it will use that for prospecting and smart bidding on other audiences at the top of funnel. And we see, especially on Google Ads is the biggest offender. Most mid-funnel metrics are just completely missing from Google Ads. Most people have got a page view and a purchase, and in between, they don't have a view item event, an add to cart event, a checkout event. On Meta, out of the box, it tends to be a bit better. But yeah, there's some I don't know, some restrictions coming in for wellness brands and things like that that are making the whole thing more awkward. So, and, you know, more limited. So actually having first-party cookies, having a first-party cookie solution, most brands wouldn't know what that means, but having first-party cookie solution just means you're not relying on third parties, third-party cookies that are being deprecated and they're being, I don't know, removed in by some browsers very, very quickly, sometimes 24 hours after someone goes to you. So imagine you go to a website and you accept the cookies and you go back the next day, you've got to accept the cookies again. If you go about the next day, you're probably just going to reject and you just got to keep doing this. And that's because of the cookie storage just being kind of limited. And it's, you know, it's becoming a big problem. So, you know, brand owners, if they want to drive more profitability from paid media and analytics accuracy, the first and kind of best way to do that is to look at the tracking, look at the data engineering that's sending in data, look at the fidelity of it and control it, have proper control over it, or employ specialists who really, really know what they're doing. Yeah, you can have Tag Manager, there's free apps out there, these other solutions that require you to buy the technology and then you've got to find someone to implement it. But even if you can do that, nobody's monitoring it. You can install it today and it just breaks tomorrow and you wouldn't even know for months, maybe years. And imagine how much data and performance and media spend efficiency you're going to lose over the next year or something if some add to cart event is broken and you're only retargeting half the people who add to cart and then you're retargeting them with the wrong product information. So you just randomly retarget the random products from your website. And most brands are doing this really, really badly. It's a huge issue in performance. It's probably the biggest issue, I think.
I totally agree with you with some of the horror stories I've heard of brands thinking, you know, they'd installed this app, they assumed it would work, you know, like back in the good old days, can we call them, where we just installed Google Analytics and it worked before all the privacy legislation, before how things have been evolving. It is something which the average marketing manager, the average e-commerce director has to be on top of now, isn't it? Is understanding, is your data being collected properly in the right way? First party cookies, server side, et cetera, et cetera. And then are we sending it to the right places in a way that they can actually pick up on it? And, you know, with you pay for what you get, don't you? At the end of the day with this sort of thing, if you're expecting the person who you're using to send all this data out and to make sure it's all being collected, or the software, to be on top of the latest changes at XYZ recipient, by which I mean Meta, Google, et cetera, or to be on top of the latest legal changes in a particular territory that affect it. That's a huge amount of work to expect a software provider to be doing for free for you. Hence, I totally get, you know, what you're saying, Wes, about how you should be
paying for this. Web devs just simply aren't experts in this area. Our web developers who build and maintain our clients' Shopify stores, they wouldn't touch the tracking. They wouldn't dream of touching it. They just get the specialists in our business to handle the tracking. And they know what impacts the tracking. You know, the web developers, they go, right, okay, we know what can break the tracking now and we know how to protect it when we are developing a site, but they wouldn't test it and they wouldn't implement it. It's just totally outside of their wheelhouse. And yeah, most agencies just pass the responsibility to the brand. They pass it to a web developer. And even if they get the tracking and the tracking's all right, they're going to all of a sudden, you know, at some point go, oh, we need to be compliant and we'll just, or switch cookie banner provider or something, which is a really big kind of part of the tracking ecosystem. And they just do it and it just destroys all their data and all the campaign performance. GA4 becomes a mess. And it's just because they've just, I don't know, just chucked something at the wall and gone, oh yeah, that'll do. And it's like, well, if you don't understand the impact of these things, then, you know, you're in a really tricky position because you can easily just destroy all your campaign performance. Then the agency gets the blame because paid media performance is no longer what it once was. And it's just, yeah.
So we are currently, everyone's hearing this in October. Peak is bearing down on us. Obviously, this is something which there's certainly something we should be doing before peak hits to make sure we're all right, because this could have a very big impact. What's the absolute kind of basics we need? I'm thinking, you know, what should we be capturing and where should we be sending it? What's the absolute basic someone wants and that would be, and that's relatively easy? I'm sure there's some metrics which are a nightmare to find and you can't get done in a couple of days, but what would be feasible to pull together?
Yeah, I mean, really as standard for any e-commerce brand, you've got, say, the five core events, which are going to be a page view, a view item or a view content, which is basically a product page view. And this product details on that event, it will capture the information of the product detail page, you know, the currency, the price, the product ID that matches it to your catalog that you're using in campaigns, a whole bunch of stuff in there. And then you've got add to cart. Obviously, everyone, that's probably a well-known event, you know, abandoned basket type thing. People think email with that really, but it's like a big part of paid media. And again, lots of rich product information you can send with that event, begin checkout and then purchase. Those mid-funnel events, especially on Google, they seem to be missing. On Google Ads, you've got a conversion tag and a remarketing tag. And what we see is that either brands have just got the conversion tag and the remarketing tag missing. So the remarketing tag just builds audiences from those events, but it doesn't send a ping to your ad account to say somebody has done this event and use it to drive the smart bidding algorithms that use these mid-funnel events. If you're not getting enough purchase data through, but you're getting lots of product page views and add to carts and checkouts, and you've got, you know, thousands of bits of information there, then the smart bidding algorithms can use that data to drive targeting and drive optimization of the bids they're making against certain audiences and placements or whatever. And that's just missing. But those five core events, and then making sure that you've got a decent kind of consent management platform, a cookie banner provider, and that you have got Google consent mode set up properly. That's something separate that you need to set up properly. And that can be a really big deal for the accuracy of GA4 and some of the information that's being sent to Google Ads. If you don't have it set up properly in the EU, it can stop you doing any kind of personalized retarget across any Google platform. And people have no idea, because they can't. A lot of people would find it very difficult just to go into a Google Ads account and go, right, I want to see how my remarketing's working. And you know, I think people can probably do that a bit easier in Meta. So they have no idea of the impacts of this stuff. And a lot of people are actually just sending Google Analytics audiences in to Google Ads. And then just that's how they do their retargeting on Google. They don't know that, but those are the kind of automatically built in Google. But those GA4 audiences are probably way smaller than actually your native Google Ads tag kind of audiences. And again, people don't seem to understand that kind of infrastructure in Google. In Meta, like I said, it's a lot better out of the box. You know, server and browser, the server side stuff on Google is different as well. Enhanced Conversions API, that customer data that you can attach onto these events. And then there's the whole, you know, first party and third party cookie thing. Have a first party cookie solution, have browser and server side, have those five events, page view, you know, viewing a product page, add to cart, checkout, purchase done properly, captured in the right place with all the right product and customer data attached to those events. And at least that's a relatively decent foundation. It might not be as sophisticated as what, say, we could provide or another third-party provider where we're enriching the data and enhancing it through, you know, some kind of proprietary, you know, kind of innovation that we do, but at least gives you a good foundation. And then make sure you're monitoring it, which no brand or human has got the time to do. You need technology to be able to do that, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, these things aren't set and forget, are they? So you've given us a really great run through of the type of things we should be collecting, and then we're sending those to Google Ads, Meta Ads, and Google Analytics as our absolute basic starting point.
Yeah, and Klaviyo, something like Klaviyo email. So any paid media channel, GA4, and email, yeah, is the kind of the bog standard ones out there, yeah.
And presumably this is, we can't backdate the data. The data only starts being fed from the moment we set it up. So if I set it up today, yesterday's data won't go through. So there's definitely a good reason for doing it today, not tomorrow, in that sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So there is time to get this sorted before peak, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, it can only all be done within, I don't know, a week, 7 to 10, I don't know, yeah, 5 to 10 working days, something you can, dependent on how complex your setup is. I mean, if you've got like a headless storefront and it's on a, you know, some kind of esoteric platform and you've got, I don't know, some custom events and custom journeys, like, I don't know, with the some cosmetics companies and hair coloring company, things like that, you know, there's like consultation journeys on the site, and that can add some additional complexity into it. But, you know, by and large, most e-com brands are just those 5 standard events, maybe with a lead event or something like that as well, that could capture sign-ups or membership logins or something like that, or there might be subscription, separate subscription event you can have. And I mean, that's a whole other kettle of fish. But yeah, those are the standard events, really, that most brands will need to capture. And they probably are capturing them on Meta, Google Ads. Yeah, I would guess the majority of brands just probably aren't, and they have no idea.
So anything we've missed? I assume we've covered it all. It feels to me like we've covered all the bases, but is there anything else we should add that the audience need to know about, Wes, before we move on to the insider tips?
Yeah, maybe a little expansion just on the subscription stuff. If you're a subscription brand, it's kind of a bit of an issue in the industry. Most companies are not passing the right type of information. So it looks like your one-time purchase audience is worth more to your brand than a subscriber. So if you say, right, one-time purchase, whatever, for these supplements, it's £30. But if you pay for it on a subscription and get it delivered every month, you'll get it for $25.99, right? But you're only passing the first month's transaction to the ad platforms. So it actually looks like these are just a cheaper, you're getting less value from somebody who subscribes, and they are harder to acquire. So the CAC is higher, right? Because people have got to commit to a subscription. So it looks like more expensive to acquire. So CPAs are higher, ROAS is lower. So if you're optimizing for ROAS or CPA or both within these ad accounts, Meta and Google, it's going to train your entire ad account over time to go after one-time purchase profiles, because it can't see the lifetime value of the customer. And that is a big challenge. I bet there's less than 1% of all brands in the subscription sector have any clue that that is what's happening.
And that is a huge nightmare if you're in subscription. Right, very glad you added that one in, Wes. Thank you. It's been great picking your brains about all of this. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Wes's insider tips on getting ready for peak and my suggestions for other ways we can help you improve things even further in your business.
Are you ready to try TikTok ads? Success on TikTok comes from embracing all the opportunities the platform's ecosystem provides. Organic brand posts, live streaming, affiliates and creators, TikTok shop, and of course, the advertising platform. So, are you ready to try TikTok ads? Now is the perfect time to get your TikTok ads up and running. Available in more than 150 markets in 75 languages, no video app is on more mobile devices worldwide. And get this, of TikTok's millions of users, 1 in 4 can't be found on any other platform. Don't start with TikTok ads without checking the latest new advertiser deal. Find it at keepopt.com/TikTok ads. That's keepopt.com/TikTok ads. TikTok ads. All one word. I'd love to hear how you get on.
Okay, well, so far we've gone deep into analytics for advertising. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of getting ready for peak. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with getting ready for peak, which of course does include everything we've already been talking about. So Wes, are you ready for the insider tips?
Yeah, go for it.
Awesome. Let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
Understand the basics brilliantly. So you're not just going to go like the Matrix and just plug this thing in and then all of a sudden you're just going to know everything. And it is a really complex black box part of performance marketing, probably the most complex black box part of it. But just go and read, even that I was going to say, go and read the documentation you can find on it from Meta and Google. Yeah, kind of, bit of a dry read. But start asking, just, I don't know, ChatGPT, some of what other AI you use, and start asking questions. Create a project. What I do for anything that I don't really know, that I need to know desperately, and I need to know it quickly, and I need to build up my knowledge, I'll just create a project where I can just drop some documentation in it, and then I'll set up a give it an instruction and say, I need to learn everything I need to know about this, and this is why I need to know this stuff. So the AI's got context. I'm sure everyone's got their own ways of, you know, handling AI, but you can drop documentation in it, and you can refer to that documentation. And then you can drop URLs in sometimes, and you can refer to specific URLs of sites that you trust. And then you can start asking questions and in the context. So if you're a brand owner, tell it what brand you are, tell it where you advertise, drop some documentation in about tracking, and tell it some issues you've got. If you don't understand, what's an FB CLID, what's a G CLID, all this stuff. And then it's, what is the impact for me as a paid media marketer or as an e-commerce manager, what does, and ask for the impacts as well. And then eventually it always knows that you want the impact. I think that's probably now the best and most kind of, I don't know, important resource there is out there for learning. So I think that's where I would start. That's where I start every time I want to understand something new.
We always love some prompting ideas. So thank you for that. Now, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Yeah, I mean, tracking. There's only so many buttons you can push in an ad account. There's only so many structures you could have in an ad account. There's only so many creative iterations. And actually, people over-iterate on creatives, actually, and they're just spending too much money on new ads in the learning phase instead of finding the winners and scaling the winners, which you want to do coming up to peak, right? Already have your winners, know what works, and then just, you know, testing stuff during peak. But yeah, optimize your tracking. Have a look. There's a whole bunch of stuff in Events Manager. Go to Events Manager in Meta, and it will give you your EMQ, your event match quality scores, and it will tell you how your server side and browser side stuff's performing, how much coverage you've got. Look at your advanced matching stuff in there as well. Are you passing all the right information that you can be passing? Email, phone number, date of birth, FBC parameters, FBP parameters. If you don't know what they are, go and look them up. And you can optimize. It shows you how to optimize all these metrics. And basically optimizing them means improving data flow, abundance, richness. It improves attribution, which improves performance, which improves profitability. So go and have a look. And in Google, go to the goals section and have a look in there. And there'll be diagnostics, and there'll be all your events in there. You'll be able to see your attribution windows, whether you've got them set to data-driven attribution models, and just do some, yeah, even some basic house cleaning there, actually, and some kind of, yeah, some a bit of a, even if it's not a deep dive, even just going in and having a look, you'll be able to improve some sort, or at least improve your knowledge of it anyway.
Very cool. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend?
Well, yeah, apart from what I've already mentioned, I mean, we've got a load of blogs, we've got podcasts on this. I think go and consume as much of that as possible. Podcasts, probably the easiest way, because you can just do other stuff while listening. Just stick it on while you're asleep. If you listen to that, you probably end up coming and buying our technology and dropping in some subliminal stuff in there. But yeah, I think podcasts, blogs, obviously the AI stuff is the official documentation from Meta. And Google as well, familiarize yourself with that. But in the ad account, go to the Pixel section, the Events Manager section, and the Goals section in Google, and read everything that there is in there. Know what's possible. And then the stuff you don't know what it means, just, yeah, go and AI it.
Excellent. Thank you very much for all of that, Wells. Finally, crystal ball time. Dare I ask you, what's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months we should be getting ready for? So beyond peak, what do we need to be worrying about?
It feels like there's going to be further. The trend is more restriction in data. Well, having said that, depends what kind of government's in power, actually, I suppose. But it feels generally like there's increasing restrictions around cookie usage and tighter privacy controls. UTMs are being stripped out of more and more things on Apple. So like iMessages and emails. So I only see I only see the death of UTM's, really. Urchin tracking module. Why it's called that, no idea. It doesn't really give you a clue what it does. But that helps with attribution in things like GA4. Those things are being stripped out left, right, and center. Just go on, I don't know, ChatGPT. Like, give me 100 reasons why a UTM would be stripped out of a URL, and then ask it where it thinks the next kind of restriction's coming from. But I think Apple are rolling out most of this, more stuff that's coming in from the new iOS. There's more restrictions on that. So I only see less data, or at least less visibility of the data, more anonymization, more hashed data. So I think the growth of the use of first-party cookies and this tracking thing and compliance is only going to, it's only going to have to be an area where brands invest more and more in. And it's a good investment. It's a money maker.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely spot on there. And I can, as we almost wrap up, I might be able to out-geek you, Wes. I didn't think this day would come. Urchin, I do believe, in UTM, is the company, the name of the company that Google bought who developed it in the first place.
There you go.
Everybody go Google that or AI that, because I'm about 80% sure that's right. And let me know if I got that horribly wrong, because there's a 20% chance I did. Wes, thank you so much for being on the show. Before you say goodbye, where can the listeners get in contact with you and your business, and how can you help them?
Leafsignal.com. And yeah, we can give you a free audit, which means us jumping on a call, video call with you, and we will walk through your website and we will show you pretty much on the kind of the back end of your website. We don't need any access. We will show you how your tracking is currently performing and how that's set up, including the compliance as well, whether you're compliant and whether you're capturing all the events and the product data. You should be across your website, and it can take 15, 20 minutes, and it'd give you a good idea of the gaps and how much impact you can expect to gain from fixing that in terms of revenue performance. So yeah, drop us a line.
So that's leafsignal.com. Anyone who wants to grab one of those free tracking audits. And I have to say, if I was listening to this in October going, oh lordy, this might be a potential massive win or massive nightmare for us right now, I think I'd probably start by going to leafsignal.com and getting one of those free tracking audits. Well, Wes, thank you so much for being on the Keep Optimizing podcast. It's been great chatting to you, and thank you for sharing all your expertise with us.
Thanks for having me again. Cheers.
Well, if you were in any doubt that it was worth sorting out the tracking that you're collecting on your website with your cookies and so on and so forth, and feeding that information back into Google Analytics, back into Meta Ads, into Google Ads, or into any of the other platforms like Klaviyo or your email systems that are using that tracking data to automatically improve performance for you, you really do know that you should be doing that now. I think Wes gave us a great rundown of why it's so important, and really made it clear how complex this can be if you don't do it in the right way. And I guess the other really important thing to point out is you can't set and forget either. This is something you need to manage. You need to log in and check periodically, as well as if you're in those higher spend brackets on the ad platforms, have the tech automatically checking how it's all working too. It is not necessarily as complicated as it sometimes sounds setting all of this up, because if you're on a platform that's already got this information coming through, then, or that's already collecting it, then it's more a case of kind of joining the dots, just making sure the right things are going into the right places. But you can take it to the nth degree, obviously, in line with how your ad spend budget increases. Right. You can get the links to all those things we discussed, the transcript of the episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct to episode short links. Just put keepopt.com/the number of this episode into the URL bar, and you'll be redirected straight to the exactly right page on the website. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things we share to help you improve your business. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, then why not go and check out episode 241, where we're chatting about purely the first-party cookie data side of all of this and how you can use that to improve ad performance. So it's a slightly different take on the same topic that I think you'll find really interesting. You can also find our full thread of getting ready for peak content by scrolling up your feed or use the short link keepopt.com/peak. And please do tell your fellow marketers about the show, because we create it to help as many of you as possible to improve the performance of your e-commerce marketing. So it'd be great to have even more of you listening. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Check out the latest TikTok ads, new advertiser deals. Find them at keepopt.com/TikTok ads. That's keepopt.com/TikTok ads.